الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهب، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We've been covering the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. It's a very comprehensive dua. And the next dua that the Prophet ﷺ makes in this rather large, or you can say extensive or comprehensive supplication, Prophet ﷺ says, وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, and I ask from you, O Allah. He's asking for so many things. The one in the last gathering was رِضَاء بِالْقَضَاء. He asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ability to be content with the decree of Allah, the divine decree of Allah, which is, of course, in and of itself, a very challenging thing to internalize. And then he transitions, and then he asks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. O Allah, I ask from you the like a cool or alleviated or comfortable life after death. Like a comfortable life after death. That's what Prophet is asking for. Now, it's interesting because if you look at just the way the world works, so much of our effort as human beings is placed on ensuring that we have comfort in this world. If you look at the purpose of so much of our existence, it's to establish comfort in our life. On an individual level, we're taught as children from our parents, from our peer, from our mentors, from our seniors, that if you work hard in school, if you earn a degree and you get a job, you'll be able to live comfortably. And that's the advice that we're given from a very young age. And not just at an individual level, at a communal level as well. If you look at all the advancements that society aims to make, look at technology, for instance. I mean, what's the purpose of technology? Think about the how large of an industry this is, right? Billions and billions and billions of dollars that are going in toward technology, whether it be appliances for the home and advancing it, whether it be appliances or technology that sits in your pocket and trying to advance that, whether it be technology that is on the streets between how transportation works. I mean, all of this is designed for what purpose? To provide comfort and alleviate, let's say, difficulty or suffering in this world. Right? Well, why is there a washing machine? Why was that ever discovered? Because someone eventually came up with someone, you know, who really struggled. I mean, it was commonplace that if you wanted to wash your clothes, you literally take a pail or a bucket, take your clothes with you, take it to the, you know, the local whatever river or lake, wherever it may be, body of water. You'd wash them there, bring them back, hang them up to dry. The process could take a half a day. And eventually someone realized that, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be a better way to do this. Now you have a washing machine, and it takes care of all of your laundry in a matter of an hour, 45 minutes. You hang, you know, you can dry it with the dryer. You're done in an hour and a half. It provided a sense of luxury and comfort. Comfort. And so that's just the basis of so much of what people pursue in this day and age. Even in the medical field, for instance, so much of what all the advancements in the medical field are for what purpose? So that there isn't suffering that comes from disease. Rather, there's comfort so that a person can live peacefully in this world. And now, these are not all bad things. I mean, many of these things are, you know, are actually for the betterment of society, for the betterment of humankind, and that's not a bad thing. But that scope is very narrow. That scope is very narrow. If you think about it, how long does an average human being live in this world? It's a matter of, I mean, now life expectancy has gone up relatively steadily. It used to be 40, let's say, years, 100 years ago. Now it's, let's say, it's 80 years, right? It's average, 80 years. But if you compare that to the life expectancy of a human being in the hereafter, in the akhirah, it doesn't even compare. It doesn't even compare. I mean, 80 years compared to eternity, how do you put that on a map? How do you put that on a timeline? You can't. Right? When the Prophet ﷺ said that if you were to take your finger and dip it into the ocean or into a large body of water and pull it out, and the water, you know, it's interesting because he could have said if you were to take a cup of water and, you know, scoop up from the ocean like a cup of water, the amount that's in that cup of water is the value of what this world is. But even that would be giving it too much value. So the Prophet says, if you were to take your finger and dip it, not like, you know, scoop it with your hand. If you were to take your finger, dip it, and then look at your finger and see the water that remained on your finger, this would be the value of what this world has in comparison to the hereafter or the akhirah, which is the life after death, which is the ocean. That's the degree of comparison. So all of this effort, you know, advancements in medicine, technology, just in general, the workforce, everything is designed to provide comfort. Why? For the life expectancy of a human being, which is not going to be more than 120 years. Average, 80 years, right, if you're lucky. So the Prophet is reminding us that, like, I mean, what we're being taught as Muslims is that look beyond the immediate and recognize that, yeah, there is something about trying to be comfortable in this world. And there's value in that, and to an extent that should be pursued. But you can't just stop there. You and I cannot just stop there. We have to look beyond it. Beyond it. And that transition point of what puts us into the present, into the beyond, is what we call death. What we call death. So as much as we may seek comfort in this world, for this life, for ourselves, to the nth degree we should be seeking, we should be pursuing comfort in the hereafter and in the akhirah. To the nth degree. To the nth degree. So he says, وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And I ask from you, O Allah, because only you can give this. This is only going to come from you. Just like everything else Prophet asked for up until this point, you can say worldly or non-worldly, everything that he's asked in this dua up until this point, every single thing he's been asking from Allah. So again, he's saying, I ask from you, O Allah, بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. I'm asking, now, bard in Arabic, you may have heard this word, barid, for instance. It refers to, like, cold, right? And it's interesting because, like, the linguists, they talk about bard, and it is used in contemporary use for the purposes of, like, applying coolness to something to soothe it, right? Like you injure a limb, you get punched in the shoulder or whatnot, you know, you ice it. And that sort of soothing or that alleviation from that suffering or from that difficulty is what is referred to as bard, right? So the Prophet essentially is like, the word that's being used here is that this world is like full of pain. It's full of pain. وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. After I leave this world, I want that complete alleviation from any challenge or difficulty ever. It, like, the buck has to stop when I die, is what he's saying. It can't be, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm just trying to explain it in a way that you and I may understand. It can't be that I'm going to go through difficulty in this world and all the toil and troubles and the ups and downs that come in this world, and then I pass away, and then that's just going to continue. In fact, it'll continue to a much more severe degree. It has to be that there has to be an end to this. There has to be an end to this. It can't be that just this is going to be difficult now, it's going to be difficult later. أَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Oh Allah, I ask from you comfort. I ask from you comfort in the life after I pass away from this world. Now, it's interesting because, look, we talked about bard meaning like alleviation from like difficulty, like soothing from this, you know. Every single person in this world goes through ups and downs of life, right? Every single person. I mean, even those people that we think have just comfort after comfort after comfort experience challenges in this life. We've talked about this previously. And that's whether a person believes in Allah, is a Muslim or isn't a Muslim, there's no difference there. There's just toil, ups and downs. And as you go through life, you just experience so much and so much more and more. And eventually you go through life and you're like, wow, you know, subhanAllah, there's this, like, this is not a place of, if I'm looking for some permanent peace, I'm not going to find it here. Only someone with wisdom will eventually realize that. So that's one degree of like struggle that you and I want to end when we leave this world. We don't want this to just continue. We don't want the ups and downs of life and the challenge, the constant challenge of having to try to make things work and create peace between people and ourselves and our relationships, and then also make ends meet, and then also be responsible for children and for parents and for families, and then also have all these responsibilities that I have. And then in the face of tragedy and catastrophe or calamity, all of this gets thrown apart, and then I have to somehow take these puzzle pieces, bring it back together, and then try to move forward in life. Every human being has to go through that. Now, for the believer, there's another layer, though. I have to do all this, somehow maintain a semblance of what the average human would call life, and then I have to take this, and then I have to remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all of that on top of it. So I'm going through all the same struggles, ups and downs, and challenges that the average human faces. And now as a Muslim, I have the added responsibility of going through this while remaining connected to Allah ta'ala and all the challenges that come with that. All of the, these temptations that are attracting me in so many different directions, I have to remain focused. You know, on the one hand, my life could be upside down because of just what Allah is testing me with at that point in time. And then on the other hand, I also have to maintain a semblance of sin connected to Allah, staying away from sin, you know, remaining content, remaining active in my worship of Allah. That's an added responsibility that the rest of the world doesn't have. But the beauty is that if a person is able to handle this, is able to maintain this, and then experiences death, all of that comes to an end. There's no more having to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. I mean, obviously we have a love for Allah. Obviously that relationship is not going to change, but there's no ibadah afterward. There's no, I have to make sure I wake up for Fajr prayer and pray, because that's a struggle for you and I today. It's not a struggle for the believer in the hereafter. There's no, oh, I have to make sure I recite my Quran today. In the hereafter, I don't have to recite Quran. That's a struggle for me in this world. That's not a struggle for me later. It's not, oh, I have to make sure that I, you know, control my gaze. It's not a struggle. That's a struggle and a challenge for you and I in this world. It's not something for the hereafter. I have to make sure that I maintain family ties and that I don't offend my neighbors or I don't offend my relatives. That's a challenge for you and I in this world. It's not a challenge for the akhirah, for those people who pursue it strongly in this world. And they pursue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deeply in this world. So, a person that's able to manage this and remain connected to Allah ta'ala and everything that comes with that will then experience death, and death then becomes the transition for eternal bliss for that person. So the Prophet is reminding us, وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْضَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Don't get caught up in just this world and seeking the comforts of this world, even if everyone else is doing it. Even if everyone else around you, all your colleagues, all your co-workers, everyone online, everyone on social media is pursuing the same comforts. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Yeah, you may get it, you may not get it. More importantly, seek from Allah Ta'ala eternal comfort. Because that eternal comfort will go a much longer way. Will go a much longer way. It's for eternity. It's for eternity. I mean, 60, 50, 60, 70 years versus eternity. I mean, you have CEOs of all these different corporations and companies today that are trying to make this world more comfortable. There was a Prophet and the Prophet alayhi wasalam that had a deeper vision than them. Because they're looking at just this world. The Prophets, alayhi wasalam, they're looking at eternity. You can get your comforts for a few, you go pursue all those things, you know, science, technology, engineering, make things comfortable for the world, good. But there's so much more. And it was their job, and they did an incredible job relating to us, as the Prophet, of course, related to us as well. There's something beyond this world. There's something beyond this world. And there's something beyond, and making sure that life is comfortable is far more important than the pursuit of making this life comfortable. So he says, and this is a dua that you and I should make as well, right? وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. That, oh Allah, I ask from you the a comfort or an alleviation, or let's say, yeah, you can say comfortable life after I leave this world, after I experience death. I ask that you make that experience comfortable for me. All right, essentially, I want Jannah. Because Jannah is that space in which there is no more trial. There's no more difficulty, there's no more challenges, there's no more expectations, there's no more requirements, there's no nothing. It's just eternal happiness, do what you want, be as comfortable as you want. Allah Ta'ala takes care of every single aspect there. That's what I should want. So I ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us a tawfiq to seek from Him a comfortable life. We ask Allah Ta'ala to, especially those of us that have gone to challenges and difficulties in this world, that you make the life in the hereafter much easier for us. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us and the Ummah, the Prophet collectively, to experience a soothing from the pains of this world in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.